Hello, ladies and gentlemen. So, today's podcast episode is going to be about literacy being the gateway to the world. So, a lot of people think about literacy in terms of specifically just reading and writing, but it's so much more than that. And as I talked to other teachers and other people, I found that a lot of times literacy ties heavily to identity and culture. And so sometimes when we are in different settings in the world, we tend to react differently to things, or we feel as though our personal identity is not shown and represented enough. So, for example, there are definite social constructions of identity. And according to Mariana Soto Manning and Haney S. Yoon, in their book, Rethinking Early Literacies, Reading and Rewriting Worlds, they have a section that talks about the social constructions of identity and difference. So identity is about belonging to, you know, in different settings. Quoted directly from them, it says that it can also be a way to disenfranchise children whose identities exist outside of the dominant culture. So what that means is then lots of students are not represented in books, for example, in a way that is kind. Or that like accepts them as the dominant culture, the dominant culture here in America being predominantly white. But so that means that a lot of the books that are out there do not necessarily show other individuals. You know, we are at a disadvantage when it comes to many students who need to see their identity at play in a very authentic way, and often the literature does not do that. And these our students then feel kind of on the outside, and they don't feel as included in the readings, and they have a hard time grasping the meaning of them. Especially those who may not understand English. English is not their primary language. Therefore, their culture is not reflected, you know, in the schools because they are not white or American or English speaking. And so they struggle a lot with, you know, what to do. What to do, how to, you know, relate to the characters in a story that does not accurately represent who they are. And that creates a difference. And so their peers kind of look at them a little differently too. And they're like, oh, like, I understand this book. Why don't you? And it's because, well, their culture, their identity is not there all the time. And so teaching our students how to kind of look at that is super important. Sometimes we live our identities in different contexts. So again, the book by Manning and Yoon goes further later on to say that like identities are lived out in contexts, and these contexts can support a child's practices or move them to the periphery. Language is a social practice that is tied to identity, similar to categories of race and class described above. So above they talked about, this is on page 11 in that book. They talk about how race runs in the background. Race continues to be a significant factor in determining inequity in the United States. And we see that in all of the books that we, you know, have for our students and what they're supposed to look at and absorb knowledge wise. You know, it's a very uneven scale of what is presented. And I wanted to talk about that like identifying oneself and being identified. And, you know, identifying yourself kind of comes from the people around you. We identify ourselves based on what we fit, the categories that we think that we fit in. Where we kind of get a lot of feedback from the books that we read or that we're interested in. We choose our own identity, but then we are also being identified by the social constructs, the different norms that we have in society. We are identified by other people. Other people kind of look at us and immediately say, oh, you are, you know, you are female, you are white, you have brown eyes, brunette hair. And that's an identity, a physical identity of who you could be. And people kind of play a huge part in that. And then identifying, you know, who you are in the world, it depends on, you know, the context with which you are. So some of the issues is that in the book later on page 12, it says, in constructing their own literacy experiences, children were apt to follow the hidden curriculum of controlled bodies, dispositions, and attitudes rather than develop communicative competence. So clearly, identities are both chosen and imposed. So children live out their lives in a landscape filled with multiple voices, linguistic and ideological diversity, and varied discourses. At times, these discourses are competing and contradictory, given the heteroglossic background of language and social worlds, which that was cut came from Bakhtin, 1981. And essentially, when children are kind of forced to, they're forced to develop a identity based on a curriculum that is narrow in scope, it becomes difficult for them to kind of choose who they are. And again, they live, you know, multiple voices, the voices of their teachers, their parents, but also their peers and other adults in their life have a huge impact on who they are as a person and how their literacy develops. So they may not like to read certain books because the prominent culture that is represented that is not who they identify as, you know, deters them from reading what could be a piece of classic literature. And then that then changes how they interact with the world. So they may kind of develop this identity that certain races, certain languages are superior and inferior in the world, and that kind of dictates how they interact with other people. And literacy really is, you know, not just reading and writing, but it is who we are at our core. Literacy is also a gateway to the world. If we cannot find ways to identify with other people, but also understand other cultures, other identities, other languages, not even just speaking the language, but just understanding that there are other languages that are just as beautiful as, you know, our home language, whether it be English or Arabic or Spanish, we still have, you know, a genuine appreciation for those things that may be different. And over time, you know, our identity can change. Our culture could potentially change if we you know, are adopted into another family whose culture is not predominantly American, but rather Muslim, a Muslim culture, we can kind of change who we are if we marry into a Hispanic family. Our identity kind of changes. We kind of adopt their culture as our own and make it our own. And we, you know, view that culture different, very differently than if we did not marry some, you know, into a Hispanic family. And that can change too. Like, we can learn as much as we want about other cultures as well. And that can also help kind of change our identity and how we are going to interact and the social aspect of, you know, who we are as a person that, you know, we're different. On page 9 in the book, it says the student's identity in person was constructed by perceived literacy abilities with intersecting deficit discourses, reifying a master narrative about Black and brown children. This narrative reinforced the physical, intellectual, and cultural superiority of whites, which are undeniably part of the history of race relations in the United States, taken from Shapiro, 2014, page 399. And again, if it's those perceived literacy abilities, again, back in the, after the Civil War, during Reformation, there was a lot of, you know, trying to change the culture, but what African Americans, you know, Blacks were looked down upon by the white culture, the predominantly white culture. And so those students kind of, they felt based on how they were perceived, based on what they were taught, that they were inferior to whites, that they didn't have, you know, the same opportunities because they were not given the same opportunities. And they, you know, found that their identity was less than. It was imposed upon them that they were less than because of society and what society dictated and, you know, the social aspect of it. They were not allowed to interact with whites. It was frowned upon for a very long time. And so that kind of took a toll on, you know, their view of themselves, their ability to, you know, see their culture. And that was very different. So, and talking to a lot of the teachers that I work with, literacy is very single-minded in that it is, can you read, can you write? And if you are from another culture, it is very difficult for a lot of teachers to view them as the same or as capable as, you know, their English-speaking counterparts because they don't have a great grasp of the language. Therefore, you know, it's seen that they are not as smart, yet they are. Many of them can read in their home language better than they can in English. But they are taught, they are kind of shown that they can't do certain things because they don't have a grasp of the language, of the dominant language. Socially, they struggle because of that. And so they struggle to read, and they sometimes don't. They have this begrudging, you know, attitude or this reluctance to read in English because they don't feel that their home language is valued, that they are forced to kind of adopt this identity of what is considered the dominant culture, which is English speaking or, you know, predominantly white. And so that's kind of what today's episode has been about. That's what I wanted to talk about. If you have any questions, let me know. Thank you. Have a wonderful rest of your day.